This is Michael Ann Connolly, and you're listening to Habits into Health. In this podcast, you'll experience the unique Habits into Health perspective, and we're all about helping you create your own personal and unique habit change plan. You'll get a chance to practice approaches that encourage you to draw on your bodily experience to help shape your changes. I call this letting your body lead, so your mind doesn't have to. And you'll also hear information from other sources from time to time, because my goal is to give you more choices in changing behaviors that are creating problems for yourself or for others. In this episode, we're going to talk about anger on a continuum. This is part two of a conversation about the A in HALT. HALT is an acronym, and it reminds us not to get too hungry, too angry, too lonely, or tired when you're dealing with your life's challenges, because slipping back into old habits is only one moment away. So we've been talking about food and hunger for a while, and right now we're talking about angry. We'll get to lonely and tired in future episodes. The point is that to prevent relapse, however you define that, you want to build on your ability to recognize the signs before you act them out. And that's especially true, I think, with anger. First up, though, we always have an experiential exercise so you can collect yourself. Your sensory experience of yourself, well, is the source for recognizing everything you know. And that includes the ability to sense the signals that old habits could be sneaking their way back in. In today's practice, you'll have another chance to tune in to your own signals. And, you know, in these exercises that we do in Habits into Health, I invite you to try out something that is physical, and you can follow my guidance and just be in the experience. Sometimes in doing these practices, people have memories or images, emotions, or even thoughts. But you don't have to search for those things. Although, if it comes up, that's okay. There's really no right or wrong way to do the exercise. The important thing is to notice your unique and personal way of doing it, because knowing yourself is the ground floor of making any changes you want to make in anything. Let's get started. Just take a deep breath. And in this moment, I invite you to press your lips together just a little bit and be attentive to your felt sense of this. Do you feel the pressure? For instance. Now tune in to the physical sensations behind your lips. You could let your attention go to your teeth. And if you let up on the pressure between your lips just a little bit, what happens in the contact between your lips and your gums and your teeth? Now keeping your lips in contact with each other, let your jaw drop. And just notice what happens in the contact between your lips and your teeth, how it feels in your jaw, what happens in your sense of space inside your mouth. Now slowly press your lips together again and recognize how this changes the shape of your jaw. And then, for a moment, just bring your teeth together tightly and notice whether this changes the relationship between your lips or the sense of space inside your mouth. You can also, for instance, just be attentive to what's happening in your cheeks, up towards your eyes, or down into your throat even. And now soften the pressure between your lips, around your teeth and your jaw, and notice what happens now in your cheeks, and above into the upper part of your face, or down into your throat. Now let yourself breathe, and you can let yourself shift your attention from doing anything specific with your lips or up into the rest of your face or your head or down into your throat, and just notice your general state right now. tuning to our sensory selves can result in a change of emotion, pacing, and attitude. And whether that's the case or not, you can simply notice your state right now. And by doing this, you are practicing being in yourself and in the world at the same time. If this approach to self-engagement is interesting or fulfilling for you, you can listen to other episodes by going to habitsintohealth.com and clicking on the podcast menu. Another route is you can search for Habits Into Health on iTunes and go to our fan page, Habits Into Health on Facebook and LinkedIn. And you can also find us on Twitter just by searching for Habits In, HABITSIN. My name is Michael Ann Conley, and I'm the host of this show. Today we're going to talk about the A in HALT, which stands for anger. This state makes you very vulnerable to slipping back into the very habits that you want to say goodbye to. And specifically, I'm going to talk about identifying your angry feelings on a continuum, but first let's review some basics. Imagine what it might be like to not just recognize your anger when it's small, but to be able to deal with it more effectively because you've caught it when it's small. How might your life change just based on that, no matter what your habit is that you're wanting to change? Because managing anger can be a habit in itself. So the first thing is to appreciate and attend to small changes. In today's world, we're all engaged in paying attention to big, flashy things. New car, best clothes, top-of-the-line jewelry, job, or the perfect mate. We're all so busy going for the gold that we don't appreciate the journey along the way. So as you make your changes, let yourself appreciate all the smaller, less flashy adjustments that you are making along the way. Second, it's just so much easier to notice what somebody else is doing and how they're acting toward us than to tune into our own feelings. So being able to feel and name what you feel, what your own experience is, and knowing that no one else causes that in you, well, that's an important relationship skill in general. And if your feelings are angry, it's pretty essential. When feelings are involved, it just creates more pain and misunderstanding when we use words to imply that someone else is at fault for our own experience. This week, we're going to talk about a third factor about feelings of anger, and that's recognizing that there's a range of experiences on a continuum of anger. We use a lot of words to describe different levels of anger, and I'll name a few, but it's more important that you identify your own, because we tend to deny or dismiss or minimize smaller feelings of anger. This is a big subject, and I encourage you to continue giving yourself some homework. Invest some time this week to explore what we're talking about today. In a previous podcast, I invited you to be attentive to how anger showed up in you during the week. And I've chosen some points along a scale and want to explore these with you today. As you listen, I invite you to notice how you feel physically. The actual words that I've chosen may not fit for you, and that's okay. I'm encouraging you to recognize the stages when anger is small and beginning to build, because that's the place, like I said, where we tend to minimize or ignore until it's too late and we've blasted it out and created problems between ourselves and others, and also being disappointed in ourselves. Here we go. So maybe on the low end of the scale, you might recognize feeling bothered. Has there been something this past week or sometime in the last month where you just recognize you feel bothered? Something bugs you, and maybe you feel a little unsure about what it is, maybe a little bewildered or confused. Maybe you notice that there's some way that you're responding to someone else or a situation, and it feels uncomfortable. You might feel bothered if something has happened once in a small way. So here's the physical question. If you feel bothered, how do you know this within you? What are your signals that you're bothered? You may not know the answer to that now, but I invite you to consider that if you notice yourself becoming bothered in the next week or so. Next up, and this is only my suggestion, not the way it has to be for you, but perhaps when bother is a little amped up, you feel annoyed. That thing that bothered you, well, it happened once, but maybe it's happened again. It wasn't an anomaly, and while twice isn't necessarily a pattern, it's a hint. Annoyed has a little bit more heat to it than bothered. How do you know that you feel annoyed? Not just on how you talk to yourself mentally, but how you feel it and where you feel it. And then perhaps there's something you might call frustration. Maybe you said something in the hopes of resolving a difference, but you're not seeing a response in the other person to suggest that they agree or even disagree. Perhaps they haven't noticed. What happens in you when you feel frustrated? Where does frustration reside in you? And then let's say maybe this thing, whatever it is, something at work or with a partner, a housemate, neighbor, friend, it continues. Maybe it's just happened once, but in a sharpened way that irritates you. And there's more pressure in you to do something. Although you may do nothing more than pulling away, that's still doing something. How do you know that you feel irritated? Where does irritation reside in you? It may be in the same place as frustration, but it may be just a little more amped up. Now, at some point, a line is crossed in your own feeling state. Maybe you recognize that some resentment is settling in. For me, resentment is a signal of pending trouble. I recognize it as a preoccupation and a tightening in my chest and my jaw. Where does resentment show up in you? I've learned over the years to listen to resentment as a sign that it's time for me to say something, because I don't enjoy the feeling of resentment, and I don't want to invite something worse to happen in me. And let's just say the next state is feeling indignant or offended and beginning to assign injustice to the situation. Sometimes we can feel indignant over something impersonal, like a political or a public situation. But we can also feel indignant or incensed over an experience in our lives when someone else does something that results in consequences for us. How do you feel indignant? Where does that exist in you? Can you remember a time when you felt really indignant? Can you tap into the physical experience in you? If that gets worse, then you might recognize a time that you felt infuriated. Here, maybe there's a sense of heat and the beginning of loss of control. It may be hard to keep yourself from acting out when you're infuriated. Maybe you only spout words. But when people are infuriated, it's harder for them to separate their feelings from blame and judgment of the other person. Can you think of a time that you experienced fury in your life, either feeling it in yourself or experience it from someone else? The word that I use that would be even further into lack of control is enraged. When rage has been reached, most people are flooded. Their ability to think becomes compromised. In fact, many times they say things that they later regret because they weren't really thinking. And many times people discharge their rage through physical action. And at one level, it might be just removing yourself and walking it off. But rage is also discharged by hitting a wall, a door, a person, striking out in some way. Have you ever been that enraged? What was going on that led to this extreme state of feeling? Were you able to bring this down without tipping over into being physical in the situation? A lot of times, it's not the feelings of anger that leave us in a state of dissatisfaction with ourselves. It's how we act our anger. And we'll talk about that more next time. For now, I really want to just encourage you to notice your own continuum. The one that I've drawn here is just an example. The important point is to become attentive to how you become angry sooner. It's so much easier to manage within yourself, but also in relationship to others. And then, you know, next time we'll dip a little bit into the difference between having feelings and acting on them. If you notice anger creeping into your life, within yourself, or experiencing it from another, this can actually make you more vulnerable to slipping in your habit change process, or in maintaining your recovery from an addiction, or keeping your commitment to personal growth in general. It can get in the way of you making your changes. Using HALT is a great way to reinforce your commitment, because not eating nourishing, healthy foods, that's the H, not getting too hungry, or allowing anger to pull you down, that's the A, isolating into loneliness, that's the L, and wearing yourself down with fatigue, getting too tired, that's the T, they all make you vulnerable to relapse. In other shows, we'll continue to explore ways that you can create your own personal plan for changing a habit, for sustaining new behaviors, and growing yourself into your best future. In Habits into Health, we focus on giving you more choices in making the changes you want to make, regardless of the habit that you're dealing with. I invite you to bring your questions and comments to habitsintohealth.com. This is Michael Ann Conley, and you've been listening to Habits into Health. I support you in turning your old habits around into healthy possibilities for your future. Thanks for joining me.